You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolf.
Okay. And welcome to the Win-Win podcast. This is Ben Wolf with the official podcast of Wolf's Edge Integrators. You can find out more about Wolf's Edge Integrators at wolfsedgeintegrators.com/resources, where there's great resources for setting yourself up with a self-managed business, learning about fractional executive leadership with a free copy of one of the chapters of my book, and some very other good resources there in assessing your team health and some other good stuff. So definitely check that out, wolfsedgeintegrators.com/resources. And with that, I want to get into introducing our guest today, who's going to be speaking on a very interesting topic with a very unique insight that I think is going to be novel to most people. And the topic is restoring confidence in your COO or second in command. And so with that, I want to get into introducing our guest today, who is a recurring and a repeating guest that I've had on here before. But this is a very interesting and different topic today. She is a professional EOS implementer. She's the author of the forthcoming book, Empowered COO, A Guide to Restoring Confidence in the Second in Command or Integrator Role. Her name is Rachel Lebowitz. You can find out more about her at rachel-lebowitz.com/empoweredCOO. You can get onto the mailing list, find out more about the content that she's going to be talking about today, but that's rachellebowitz.com/empoweredCOO. And Lebowitz is L-E-B-O-W-I-T-Z. And that link, though, if it's a lot to take down, is going to be in the show notes. It's going to be in the social media. So take heart. You can look for it and find it there. And Rachel, welcome back to Win-Win Podcast.
Ben, thank you so much for having me here. I'm really excited to share this content with the world.
Yeah, and I'm very excited too, because, you know, as I told you before we started recording, there's so many topics that we speak about or you have on podcasts, and it's sort of another marketing podcast or even an EOS. It's another EOS podcast, certain classical content. But this, I think, is a truly novel insight that will, I think, really open people's eyes to thinking about themselves as business owners or their second in command or integrator or COO or whatever they're going to be called in a new and very interesting way. So if you don't mind giving us a quick 2-minute background and history, so we have a little context for the conversation we're about to have today.
Sure. So I grew up in a family business. I always say the most exciting part about growing up in a family business was watching how employees acted very differently when my parents were around versus when they weren't. And that got me to go and research and study business behavioral science. I was studying business behavioral science. I dropped out in the middle of college, got married to my husband. And a little bit down the line, we bought off this company called Polycraft. We print on flexible packaging. We've grown our business tremendously by the help of EOS. And I always say that we could have grown it without EOS, but I don't know if we would stay married because, you know, the chaos of growing a company that's growing very fast and not having that like ups and downs and be like, you know, am I doing a good job? Am I heading in the right direction? That constant self-doubt with EOS, knowing that there's a plan, knowing everybody understands their part of the plan, gave us so much more peace of mind. And when I understood what it did for us personally, for our family, I really wanted to go out there and help other business owners, you know, create that peace. And I always tell the business owners that I deal with, you know, I'm not doing this for you, I'm doing this for your spouse. You know, if you're going to be a healthier business owner, you're going to be a healthier mother, husband, you know, you're going to be more home, more present. So that's really my mission. I did a deep dive on my mission, and it comes down to like one sentence: restoring the gaps in relationships. Mm-hmm. So it's between husbands and wives, between visionaries and integrators, between visionaries and their teams, between what you want and where you are, right? Those are gaps that I love to fill.
Well, that is awesome. And I would love for you to dive in to this like very interesting insight that you have into the nature of the relationships between the visionary or business owner and their COO or integrator, you know, I guess just start, you know, start sharing about what you've discovered.
So what I've discovered sitting in all of these clients' rooms in our sessions, I've been seeing similar characteristics, similar things happen with the integrators. I have a background in codependency recovery. I have had to deal with addiction in our life, and being somebody that recovered from codependency, that has been into 12-step programs, that has been coached with the founder of CODA, Ken Richardson, I realized that I see similarities between spouses of addicts and integrators. And it was a very interesting pattern. And when I dived into it more, it was around the same time that Gino Wickman came out with his 10 disciplines and his, you know, he did a great talk last year in February for all of us implementers. And he spoke about, you know, the similarities between compulsive behavior and entrepreneurship, and that visionaries are, they need excitement. They want freedom and winning. They're constantly running after a goal. Now, what I call these people is self-focused versus the people that they attract that enable them to realize their goal are other focused people. Mm. And this is the mathematics of relationships. So if you're going to look around all around you between spouses, parents and kids, teachers and students, and it's very interesting. Just this week, I was at a parenting course, and the teacher said that it says in Kabbalah and mysticism that in order for anything to come down into this world, you need a giver and a receiver. And that is that mathematics, that every relationship needs to have a plus and a minus, right? And we say this in EOS, visionaries, integrators, the perfect puzzle piece. Gino calls it, you know, that rocket fuel, right? And it's the plus and minus energy. But what my discovery is that the plus is the person that is self-focused because they create a whole business based on their vision. You know, Elon Musk created Tesla based on his vision. Without Elon Musk, there is no Tesla. The same could be said for Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook and all these other great visionaries. But what happens when a visionary is hyper-focused on their goal? If they get too hyper-focused, they tend to exhibit narcissistic traits. And the author of Driven, Dr. Doug Brackman, talks about this in his book, and he says that visionaries, driven people, have actually it's genetic. There is a gene in their body, the D2, D4 gene, that doesn't register dopamine hits. So everybody likes a dopamine high. You go to the gym, you get high. You win a lottery, you get high, right? It's the same high an addict gets when he gambles, does drugs, or whatever, drinks alcohol. It's the exact same high. It's a hit of dopamine. People that have addictive personalities, their body doesn't register that they got a hit of dopamine. So they're constantly wanting more and more and more. So that is the DNA of driven people. Another thing that he talks about is the narcissistic fantasy. So driven people, visionaries, have this fantasy in their mind that when they will reach their goal, they are going to win. They're going to build their business to X number. They're going to get the house, the car. They're going to be happy. And until they don't get there, they're so hyper-focused on getting there that they hurt people in the middle. They hurt themselves. They neglect themselves. They just don't see anything but that goal, which is constantly a moving goalpost.
Ooh, okay. I want to dive into each side of that for a second here. A lot of people may not be familiar with what a codependent dynamic is. So, and it sounds like a part of this is an analogy, which isn't, you know, which is also related to addictive behavior. And you brought in a few other sort of several similarities. But what is to understand the analogy, I want to understand like what it's being analogized to, like a little better. So if you could share with people what is codependency, or what is a codependent relationship? What's the most important? I mean, I'm sure that's a huge topic, but you know, standing on one foot, so to speak.
Correct. So I think I've spent enough time over here talking about the other focused person, right? So that's the person that's self-focused. Sorry, the self-focused person. Now, who do they attract? They attract somebody that's other-focused, people that have codependency tendencies. Now, every person should want to focus on the world, on being a giver, on being concerned about other people. It goes on a scale from like a -5 is the most unhealthy to a -1 is that somebody that's center-focused, I call, and situation-focused. So when you're in a situation, you understand what's my needs, what's the other person's needs, and what can I give. People that move too high on the scale to a -5, what happens to them is they become enmeshed. They lose their sense of self. So they get, just like a visionary gets their dopamine hit from winning their goal, somebody that's other focused gets their dopamine hit from being needed and constantly having to feel useful. So they will want to help. They're the people that pick up their hands when we sit in the room. So what happens is I'm sitting with my clients in our room and we do the accountability chart on the first day in focus day, right? And it's like, who wants this integrator seat? And this person picks up their hand. And it's always the person that is willing to help, has high follow through. They're the nicest person. They don't know how to say no. They will naturally gravitate to this position because they are, formulated. Their body is wired in a way where they love being needed and they love feeling useful. So they're focusing on everybody else except for themselves. So they constantly are worried of not feeling good enough. And they're trying to overcompensate that with being very helpful. To the degree that they do that, that's how, you know, much enmeshed or codependent they are. So an unhealthy integrator will totally abandon their inner self. They will not have a healthy sense of self. They will constantly feel not good enough. They will not be in touch with what their strengths and weaknesses are. So they'll desperately try to do things that are not their unique ability in order to please somebody. They're going to try to please the visionary instead of serving him. So visionaries could just walk in one day and say, I want to buy a new building, right? Because it's a whim and it's a dopamine hit. An integrator that is not assertive will just go and do the research, file the papers, instead of pushing back in an assertive way and be like, is this the best thing for the organization? Or is this something you want today? Like, I want ice cream for lunch, right? So they're not good at serving. They're not good at having conflict. They're afraid of having conflict because they're constantly worried about looking nice to the world. So they don't like upsetting people. So they become basket cases. So they're eating themselves up inside because they don't know how to say no. They become basket cases, and then it ends up exploding because it doesn't serve anybody. Because at the end of the day, they're not serving the greater good of the organization. They end up getting very resentful. They feel very lonely, and they end up being very burnt out. Does that cover it?
That's a lot. What, and I know one of the things you talk about when restoring confidence is also how that self-focused person, that founder or visionary or business owner, is ultimately gets dissatisfied with that integrator or COO that's naturally attracted to that them or that position. If they're always there to please, what's the mechanics of that dynamic? Why, what is happening that these business owners will get dissatisfied with this person who's only there to please?
That's a very good question. And somebody messaged me yesterday on LinkedIn and they said, you're talking about integrator burnout, but you should talk about visionary burnout. That when a visionary has the wrong integrator, they become burnt out. And the reason is because they tend to not even exit. They're technically in the integrator seat because an integrator that is not healthy, or I would call not empowered, is not good at making decisions because they doubt themselves and they're constantly looking for approval and validation from the visionary. So they're holding everybody back. They're working slower because they're constantly so obsessed with trying to please and get validation. So think of the visionary in that situation. He feels held back. He feels like he has to care for somebody. Visionaries don't like caring for people. They're self-focused. So if they have a low tolerance of empathy, so they have a very hard time putting themselves into other people's shoes. So they don't want to care for another person. Like, do your work. Just bring me the results. Don't tell me what happened between point A and point B. Just get me to point B, right? So they feel burnt out. The integrator can cause over-dependence on themselves, which means they, at the highest level that an integrator is enmeshed, they can become very controlling because they're trying to make you do what they feel is best for you, right? I'm trying to help you, so I'm going to tell you what you could do, what not. Think about the spouse of an alcoholic. She will hide all the alcohol. She'll hide all the money because she's trying to get her husband not to drink. But really, she has no control, but she now looks like a control freak, right? So the integrator could start looking like that. Now the visionary—
You mean towards the visionary or towards other people?
Towards the visionary. I'm trying to do what's best for you. You want to achieve this vision. So I'm going to tell you where should go and what you should do and how you should invest or shouldn't invest without actually having a conversation and laying out the pieces and seeing which parts of it are the facts, what's the truth, and what part is my feeling, right? Because if an integrator is low risk taker, they might be hesitant about something that might actually be good for the company, but they're involving their emotions in their decision-making.
Mm-hmm. What? Okay. So this is like an interesting setup. I mean, there's a lot there. There's a lot to absorb. But what would you say about how people can get back to a restored confidence? I mean, the title of your upcoming book and a lot of your teachings is restoring confidence in the second in command or integrator or COO. What are the elements of getting back to that healthy relationship or that healthy integrator, that integrator who has confidence?
Correct. So, you know, Gina Wickman at Rocket Fuel says only 2.5% of the world is cut out to be true integrators. And I think what he's alluding to is that empowered integrator. So there are plenty of people in the world that fit the other focused profile. They derive energy from helping others. And again, that's not a bad thing as long as you don't lose yourself. If your mission in life is to help everybody, and then you have to retire, and your kids get married, and then you're like, okay, what am I doing with my life? And you have no healthy sense of self. That is a very sad, lonely place to be. So when you do what you do, you're doing it with a sense of purpose, of it fills you, and you know which parts of you it fills. So if you know that your highest level of like your strength finder is like mine is restorative, I will spend time to restore things. I'll map out ways of solving problems, but I will not do things that, let's say, need follow through, right? Or empathy, because I'm not high in empathy. So if I have to be a coach in an organization and listen a lot to people, then I'm kind of going to push them more to come to a solution rather than sit in the problem, right? So I like using future focused coaching, pushing people to solve problems, right? So the more you know yourself, the better you can do your job. We spend a lot of times helping visionaries know themselves, their strategic coach, finding their unique ability. Heck, the whole VTO is the visionary, right? Values come from the top. Core focus comes from the top. It's an expression of themselves. What integrators need to do is find out what's your personal strengths and weaknesses. Like, do a SWOT on yourself. Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. What makes you great? What are your strengths that you bring to your role, right? Take that, overlay it with the VTO of the company. So if your strengths is restorative and our mission is to grow from 30 to 250 million, how do I fit into the picture? Where do I bring my magic? The next thing that I suggest integrators do is come up with a self-care plan. Really get to know yourself. Most integrators, they abandon themselves. They're like, think about like, if there's an emergency, there are two types of people. You got to get somewhere at a certain time. The one person is like, I don't care if it's like the sky's falling, I need my coffee, right? And they're just going to go and get their coffee and arrive late. Versus somebody that's a people pleaser will forgo their coffee, arrive on time, be groggy, be resentful because they didn't get their coffee.
Not go to the bathroom when they need to go to the bathroom, like basic stuff.
Basics. And you'll see a lot of integrators, they don't know, they can't identify their feelings. Like, what do I want? What do I need? They're very worried about what other people want and need. And it causes them to become a shell of themselves. Mm. And you can't fill from an empty cup. You got to put on your oxygen mask first.
Right. And, you know, when it gets into that topic you talked about before with how they serve the business too, not just themselves, but how they serve the business, is that if you become that empty shell, if you're just executing what other people want and you're not, you know, independently able to think, well, what do I know is the best way to achieve our vision? Maybe that vision came from the visionary, but I'm behind it. Like, I want that to happen. And if I'm not thinking about what's the best way to actually get there, and then maybe some of the short-sighted or impetuous impulses of the visionary or the founder are pushing us in a way that I know or I feel is not going to get us there, but you know that I'm going against myself. If I'm not going to push back on that, as you said before.
Right. So I came up with this term and I said, integrators need to develop ADD, right? We always accuse visionaries of having ADD, but integrators need to develop assertiveness. So assertiveness is having great communication skills, not being passive or aggressive. A lot of times integrators become passive aggressive because they don't know how to stick up for themselves. They don't know how to say what they want and mean what they say. Right. So you got to get really good at becoming assertive, just putting down, you know, learning how to speak visionary, I call it. You got to learn how to talk to visionaries, their language. If you keep in mind that all a visionary wants is freedom and winning, and you center your communication around that, you're always going to win. I see integrators saying, I can't get my visionary to see what I need them to see in order to complete this project. And I tell them, did you show them how they're winning? Like in this project, if I need a visionary to sign a lawyer's letter, it's tedious. It's like, why should he do that, right? If I show him how this lawyer letter will get him more freedom or winning, he's going to do it in a heartbeat, right? So if you say, you know, look, I know you really don't like doing this, but if you do this, we can like get out of this horrible contract with it we're in. We can move on. So the faster you do this, the better. The visionary is going to sit down and sign it right away, right? If you tell him, I need you to sit down, we need to make a schedule, you got to sit down, he feels trapped now. You just took away his freedom. Visionaries want freedom. They are not working for somebody else for a reason. They felt they don't want to be controlled by anybody and they can do it better. That's why they became entrepreneurs.
That is so, so interesting. The speak visionary. Can you give another example? That you give a couple of examples. You know, talk about you need to sign a lawyer's letter so you can get out of a contract, or you need to, I forgot what else you said, but what's another example of a right and wrong way? We should make like a table, right? That like right way, wrong way. Like to speak to a visionary, like with examples, but what's a, maybe include that in your book, but what's another example, if you have one, of a right or wrong way to speak visionary?
Okay. Another one is that I say no is a cop-out. Integrators like are known as the ones that have to say no. And I always say you rarely ever have to say no. What you got to do is get the visionary to see that it's a bad idea. That takes a little bit more time, effort, and energy, and I'll show you how. Let's say a visionary comes and says, I want to start a whole new division of having my own people go and install my equipment in other companies, right? I used to outsource this. Now I want to bring it in-house. The integrator might say, oh my gosh, this is a terrible idea. We can't do it this quarter. This is going to take 2 years, right? The visionary is like, I don't get it. I could see it happening. They see it in their mind's eye. They're visionaries. Now, what the integrator could be like is like, sure, let's see if we can do this. Take a paper and pen and say, okay, what do we need? And I actually had this with a visionary in a session. The integrator was like, no, it's a bad idea. And I told the integrator, let me show you how to walk through this. Told the visionary, great, you want a whole new department. What do you need in order to get that up? And he said, I need employees, I need equipment, I need trucks, I need to train them. And I said, and how are you going to pay for it? And he looked at me and he's like, oh, that's an issue, right? So I brought him back to reality by using active listening and what does Chris Voss call it? Tactical empathy, right? And then I was like, let's say you figure out how to pay for this. How soon can you get employees and trucks? He's like, it's going to take me 3 months. So I said, okay, so then it's definitely not happening this quarter, correct? And he's like, yeah, it's not happening this quarter. And then he says, never mind. Let's put it on the list as an issue. We'll address it.
Well, I think also just to go back to what you said before, you know, if you would boil it down to one principle to how to speak visionary, as you said, connect whatever it is that they need to do or you think is important to how that helps them have freedom or win.
Correct.
All they want, you said very simply, it was very, very simple the way you said it. All visionaries want is freedom and winning. If you tie in whatever you need to say no to or yes to, or you need to get them to do, or whatever it is that their involvement is needed for, is to connect that thing to how it helps give them more freedom or make them win. That's a great one.
That's all you need. And coming back to, we only discussed A. So there's ADD. A is assertiveness. So that's okay. A communication. D is decisiveness. It's know what you want. Don't come wishy-washy. Have a list, right? Come with ideas, not with problems. Come with solutions. Right. Bring options. Integrators, visionaries want the meat. They don't want the fat. Like, bring it to me. They're usually high D in DISC. They're usually high quick start. Integrators are usually high follow through and high fact finders. So there is that disconnect in communication. If you can learn more about Colby and realize that you're a high fact finder, the other person was a high quick start, you need to learn how to cut out the facts when you bring it to a visionary, because you are most probably going to lose them by the third sentence. So right. If you don't like
gotta get them in the first one or two sentences,
right? You need to get them. So bring lists, bring solutions, right? But also know what you want. Know when you want time off. Know what your boundaries are. I talk a lot about boundaries. Setting boundaries is not making the other person do something. Boundaries are internal. It's commitments to yourself. When you set a boundary to a visionary, you just gave him a challenge and they love challenges. So they will make sure to break your boundary. But if you set the boundary for yourself and it's internal and it's like, look, I cannot work past this hour, and you just simply don't pick up the phone, that's an internal boundary, right? And you need to decide. Boundaries is also who are you sharing what information with? Boundaries is really inventory. Taking inventory of your time, energy, emotions, and material. How much time are you willing to spend listening to people? Because other focused people are usually empaths. So you can be spending a lot of time listening to your leadership team. It takes up too much of your time. You're not being productive. You're trying to be nice, not kind. So having boundaries of like, I know personally myself, my quota for how many times a week I can go out at night is one, maybe two. Past that, I'm resentful, I'm tired, I won't be nice to my husband and my kids, right? You need to get to know yourself in that way. What's my time boundary? What's my emotional boundary? How much energy? And like literally you have an inventory list. And if you went out twice this week, then you know you're over your limit. And the last thing is, discernment. So once you really know yourself and you have great communication, you can work on that imposter syndrome and getting back to your sense of intuition. Because if you look at the description of an integrator, it's not tangible. It's not things that you can go to college to learn. It's all soft skills. So it's about bringing clarity, having great communication. Maybe some integrators, you know, balance the P&L report, making sure we're sticking it. But it's really around people skills, communication skills, and strategy skills. Being able to come up with strategies and enforcing them, right? These are all soft skills. You really need to tap into your sense of intuition. Sense of intuition also comes from being able to divide truth, facts, and feelings. So a lot of, you know, we say visionaries should not make decisions on businesses based on emotions, but integrators tend to do that too if they become too enmeshed. So you need to be able to separate, you know, if there's a crisis, be able to separate what are the facts, what's the truth. Facts never change. Your scorecard facts are not changing. The amount of money you made in the last week, even if you are going to turn a blind eye and you're going to try to move it around, it's concrete, right? Facts are concrete. Truth is the story that you tell yourself about those facts that could be true right now. Let's say, for example, masks and COVID, right? The fact where COVID was there, truth was that we thought masks were helping. A year later, the truth changed. We realized masks don't help. So truths could change. Then there is your emotional factor. How do you feel about this? How did you feel about COVID and masks then? How do you feel about it now? That's very different than the truths and facts. And if you can separate that, you can tap into your sense of intuition and make better decisions, which helps you. You know, that's your primary goal as an integrator. We take the vision, 20 ideas, 15 are not good, 5 are good. How do you come to that decision? You got to use your sense of discernment.
Right. That is great. How can, you know, for integrators, second in command, COOs, getting their confidence back, they've got to learn to have ADD, right? Which is a discernment, decisiveness, and what was the first A again?
Assertiveness,
and learn to speak visionary, connect everything to how it's helping them win or helping them get freedom. One or the other, helping them not just say no, but like help them understand when they've got that blinders on about their particular idea at that moment, how to like walk through the reality that you see. So obviously, you know, you see the reality in front of you of what it takes, but help them see it, take the extra effort, you know, in terms of not becoming enmeshed, also having, you know, being in touch with yourself, your own needs, your own vision for the business based on that, based on the company's vision. But super, super interesting. The connection with codependency and how those relationships end up there. Super, super interesting. Really, really appreciate you making the time to explain all of this. Again, people can find out more at rachel-lebowitz.com/empoweredCOO to get updates on
what's that? I actually created an assessment that integrators can go online and take, and it will tell them how empowered they are. Mm. It's rachel-lebowitz.com/assessment.
Okay.
Take the assessment, and it'll tell you basically on the scale that I have, based on psychologist Dr. Ross Rosenberg's work, how empowered they are. Like a -5 is somebody that's totally enmeshed. A -1 is somebody that's more empowered. And you can see where you are on the scale. And based on that, you know the work that you need to do in order to get yourself to be more empowered. I hate, like, people don't like me for saying this, but, you know, fractional integrators are very attractive right now. They're attractive to visionaries. And the reason is because they have ADD. They're assertive. They decide right. Rules of engagement. They come in, they say, look, this amount of money I'm going to charge. This is how long I'm going to work. This is what I'm going to do for you. And they stick to it. So they say what they mean. They mean what they right. say. They set the rules of engagement. They are assertive, decisive, and discerning. And I think that every integrator should start acting like a fractional integrator.
Right. Now that's awesome. I appreciate that. And I would think that hopefully those fractional integrators can help the internal integrator or future integrator to learn some of those skills. But even fractional integrators, they may not be doing it with such consciousness about that that's what they're doing. So I think that the content you're developing, you know, can also be, well, for fractional integrators, maybe to bring to their integrators or potential integrators, or if we're doing integrator coaching, which we do with some clients, to help bring that in so that people can see a path forward. So we're looking forward to your book coming out, and just truly appreciate you taking the time to share this like super interesting topic today.
Thank you so much. My great vision is that COO coaching should become normalized just like CEO coaching. The problem is that if you take an integrator and you send them to the wrong coach, it's like for many years, I've seen codependents going to addiction specialists. They didn't need to be by addiction specialists. They need to be by codependency specialists. Mm. You gotta understand how the person thinks, what motivates them in order to be able to coach them. My vision is to create a coaching course for fractional integrators so they can coach when
to coach the integrator.
When they create that succession plan and they get right in that integrator, how do you coach an integrator so they are sustainable, not just teach them tools of like, you're going to have a same page meeting, this is what you're going to do. Because at one point when the integrator finds themselves enmeshed, the bottom falls out and they forget all these tools. But if you coach them up internally, their skills, their self-confidence, then it's sustainable.
That is super interesting. Yeah, that sounds super interesting. And yeah, to have a certification or a curriculum that we could go through when coaching integrators or future integrators, it's like, look, we've got to go through this 3-month process of like learning these skills, the soft skills, you know, to put meat around that does sound super, super interesting. So I definitely look forward to learning about that, potentially maybe incorporating it in our business, you know, at Ed Wolf's Edge Integrators. But anyway, so thank you so much for this. Really, really look forward to continuing to hear the content you come out with. This thing is just super innovative. And just really appreciate you making the time to explain these concepts.
Thank you so much for having me today, Ben. I really appreciate your support.
Yeah, no problem. And everybody else, will see you on the other side. Enjoy.
You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolf.